6:30.
Good evening and welcome everyone to the regular meeting of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency Board of Directors for February 1, 2022. And with that, I would like to call the meeting to order. And we will go to item 2, Pledge of Allegiance. And I would like to ask Director Armitage if she would kindly lead us in the pledge tonight, please. Thank you. And all everyone else, please mute your device.
Sure. Thank you for asking. I'd be honored. Okay. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Armitage. And for our announcements tonight, this meeting is being conducted pursuant to the provisions of AB 361. Board and staff, please mute all of your devices until you are ready to speak. To avoid feedback, echoing, and background noise, make sure you unmute when speaking and remute when you are done speaking. All board members, please turn on your cameras during the meeting. Staff, please turn on your cameras when speaking and turn them off when you are done speaking. Board members should use the raise hand feature in Zoom when requesting to speak during action and discussion items. I will call on each of you when it is your turn to speak. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda during item 3. Members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in this agenda may do so at the time each item is considered. Members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in closed session before they are considered by the board must request to make comment at the commencement of the meeting at 6:30 p.m. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. Please do not turn on your camera unless you are speaking during public comment, and then please turn them off when you have completed your comments. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial *9 to raise your hand. Phone participants will be called on by the last two digits of their phone number or by name. When it is your turn to speak, dial *6 to unmute. When you are finished with your public comment, staff will re-mute you. Please be familiar with the last two digits of your phone. The procedure for tonight's meeting are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from board members. Please raise your hand in Zoom. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call the roll call votes. Board secretary will be doing attendance by roll call, and each action item being considered will be taken by roll call vote. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll for attendance?
Would everybody please unmute their lines so that it's easy to respond? As I call your name, please stay present. Director Bronstein.
Present.
Director Kelly.
Present.
Director Cooper.
Present.
Director Colley.
Mayor.
Director Ford.
Present.
Director Armitage.
Present.
Director Ozahofsky.
Present.
Director Plambeck.
Here.
Director Atkins.
Present.
Vice President Gladbach.
Present.
Vice President Mortensen.
Present.
President Martin.
I am present.
Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
We go on to item 3, public comments. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda at this time. We ask that members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in this agenda do so at the time each item is considered. Members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in closed session before they are considered by the board must request to make comment at the commencement of the meeting at 6:30. Madam Secretary, do we have any members of the public who would like to comment either on items not on the agenda or closed session?
We do. Just one moment. Ms. Dunn, please hit *6 and you may begin your public comment.
Well, good evening. I found an interesting saying from, this was a reporter. Actually, he had been serving the San Diego Union-Tribune editorial board. And he came up with this remark, and I thought it was pretty good. It's about politics. He said, when you write about politics, you grab on to honesty where you find it, because you never know when you'll see it again. And that is my comment for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dunn. Ms. Troutman, you may begin your public comment.
Actually, I'm speaking on item 6A in your consent.
Oh, on item 6, which number?
I think it's
6-1, 6-2, or 6-3.
Oh, I'm sorry, 6-2. Sorry about that. Yes.
Okay, very good. When we get to that, we'll then ask for public comment for that item. Thank you very
All right,
much.
Thank you.
Is there any further public comment? There is not. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you, April. We are at item 4, approval of the agenda. We will be pulling closed session item 12.2 from the agenda due to not being any updates at this time. Are there any changes, additions, or modifications to the agenda that the board would like to make? Seeing none, we can declare that the agenda is hereby approved. We'll move on to item 5. Well, I should I go back and ask for any public comment on item 4, April?
There is no public comment.
Very good. We go to item 5, approval of the consent calendar. We do have 3 items on the consent calendar, 5.1, 5.2, and 5.3. I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar.
So moved the consent calendar, Director Cooper.
Motion by Director Cooper. We have a second.
I second. Director Ozahosky.
Second by Director Ozahosky. Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment before we call for the vote?
We do not.
Are there any questions or discussion by the board before we call for the vote? Seeing none, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Again, please, everyone unmute. As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Plambeck.
Here and yes.
Director Kelly. Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Atkins.
Yes.
Director Ozahosky.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen.
Yes.
Vice President Gladbach.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
Thank you. The consent calendar has been approved, and that's resolution numbers SCV-251 and SCV-252.
Thank you, board members. We'd go on to item 6, action items for approval. As you see on your agenda, there are 3 action items for approval tonight. The first one is to be presented by Eric Campbell, approval of resolution revising wholesale water rates. But as is my normal practice, I would invite the general manager if he has any opening remarks before we go into action items.
Sorry about that. Just reading something while we were getting through the preliminaries. I would just say I think we have staff prepared with presentations on the action items tonight, and I know that Mr. Campbell got a few questions over the weekend, and I think he has tried to prepare some responses as well, and we'll cover those.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Stone. With that, item 6.1, presenter Mr. Eric Campbell, please proceed, Mr. Campbell.
Thank you. Good evening, President Martin and board members. Tonight, this item is a request to approve the proposed wholesale water rates that would be charged to Los Angeles County Waterworks District 36 beginning April 1st. I'm going to start by giving you an overview of the work performed and the external review of the recommendation. I'll then hand off to the ratepayer advocate, who will explain particular key components of the proposed rates and her opinion on the proposal and suggestions for going forward. The proposed wholesale rates will be charged to one customer, District 36. The agency met with the district on four occasions to discuss costs to provide the service and the rate design. The existing rates that are in place today have not performed as expected, since they were dependent on the district purchasing water on a consistent basis. It hasn't turned out that way. The district has actually purchased a total of 23 acre feet over the past 5 years combined, as they now have their own well. That represents approximately 0.008% of the agency's water sales over that period. That's clearly a minor amount, which is important to the rate design that we are proposing, and the ratepayer advocate will explain this clearly to you shortly. The district plans on continuing to use their well as the primary source of water and will be purchasing water from the agency when they take their well down for maintenance and repairs. The rate design is comprised of two charges, a fixed readiness to serve charge that will recover the cost of maintaining the capacity to provide water on short notice up to the point of their connection maximum capacities, and the volumetric charge that is based on the cost of water purchased to serve them. To conduct our analysis, our data used was from the recently completed retail cost of service study. The results of our analysis are a monthly fixed charge of $24,362 and a charge of $205.88 per acre feet. The analysis has been reviewed and confirmed by the ratepayer advocate, and our legal counsel has reviewed the administrative report. In addition, this is a very interesting point. District 36, we've had the conversations with them. They have accepted these rates, and they have actually already implemented them as a pass-through charge to their customers. This has led to an approximate 5.3% rate increase to their customers. So we've had our ratepayer advocate go through this, our legal counsel go through it. The customer has accepted and actually implemented these already. So with that, I will conclude for now, and we'll hand off to the ratepayer advocate. And then the two of us will do our best to answer any questions that you may have to help you make your decision tonight. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Eric. Let's see, so wholesale water rates. In the early stage of developing the wholesale water rates, agency staff and I sat down together to discuss the right methodology to establish the rates. We agreed that a standby charge for District 36 is the most appropriate type of charge, considering the agency's unique relationship with the district. Agency staff then performed many layers of detailed analyses to develop the rates that are proposed tonight. I reviewed and evaluated the methodology and the rationale used in the calculation. I concurred the charges developed by the agency. They are reasonable and defensible. Now, the important thing to note here is that a standby charge is an independent fee, if you will, and it is not part of the retail customer's rate calculation. In other words, the charges must be cost-based, just like retail customers' rates, but there are no cost-share requirements when setting a standby charge. The costs included in the calculation are not part of the total system revenue requirements. It does require a unique circumstance for a utility to consider a standby charge for their wholesale customers. This type of charge can only be implemented when a utility places random and infrequent loads of loads on another utility system. The keywords are random and infrequent, right? It's not steady demand that they place on the utility system. And a utility needs a backup water supply in emergency situations. And also the utility providing standby service has the reserved capacity to supply water without compromising the expected level of service to its own customers. And transmission main interconnections are already in place to transfer the water on demand. Now, we can check off all these boxes when we think about the type of service the agency currently provides to the district. There is no one set of rules to establish such charges, but it should consist of a fixed charge and a volumetric rate to create equitable rates. The fixed charge should recover the cost of capacity the system reserves to serve wholesale water customers, and the volumetric rate should include the actual cost of water. Golden rules for standby charges are, first, the revenue generated from the charges cannot be a significant portion of the total system revenue. Instead, it offsets some future capital costs that would otherwise be placed on retail customers. And second, the system should have sufficient capacity to provide a backup service without compromising the water pressure or volumes available to retail customers. This means that a standby service SCB Water provides to District 36 should have very small minimal impact on the retail customers. After reviewing the model and the report, I confirm that the standby charges developed by the agency staff meet all the requirements. They are reasonable, cost-based, and equitable for the wholesale water customer. Lastly, as a ratepayer advocate, I would like to ask the agency to closely monitor the wholesale customer's usage level. If it starts exceeding the projected maximum usage regularly, the agency needs to reevaluate the methodology we used. And what this means is that we may need to include the wholesale water rates as part of the next rate study. That will be it for me.
Okay, thank you, Ichiko. We also have Lutfi Karuf here tonight from BBK. He is our legal counsel that did the review of the administrative record. Lutfi, have you got a couple of comments?
Sure. Thank you, Eric. Yeah, thank you, Eric, and good evening, members of the board. I just wanted to make one clarification. The term standby charge has a specific legal meaning. For purposes of the agency, these are not standby charges with a capital S and capital C. I think the use of the term standby charge in Ms. Kito's discussion really only had to do with the fact that this is paying for a component of maintaining system capacity. But just to clarify for the record, these aren't standby charges for purposes of Proposition 218. And that's all I had. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Lutfi. At this point, we have concluded our introduction, and I think best what we could do is maybe open this up to questions, if that would be acceptable.
All right, Eric, before we do that, we need to take public comment. Madam Secretary, I heard we did have at least one public comment. Do we have anyone else, or do we have the public comment ready to go?
Public comment, I believe, is on item 6.2, and there isn't any public comment currently.
All right, very good. With that, I see Director Cooper has his hand in the air. Go ahead, Director Cooper.
I just want to tell Eric and Ichiko that thank you. I know this has been a difficult process putting this together. It for one small agency, and the work that you did working with the county and getting them to agree to this kind of I don't want to say settlement, but to these rates and charges is very good. I'm glad you did that. I reached out to them ahead of time. So thank you very much, Eric, and a good job.
Director Planback. You're muted, Lynn.
Sorry, at least my cursor's working tonight. I understand why this is needed and that you've got the county to agree, and I'm glad that all of that legwork has been done. But I am concerned about the general public in the District 36 area. And I know that it is not our responsibility, that they are the retailers, not our responsibility to contact individuals. But I am wondering if the representative of District 36 reached out to the town council at all, or if there was any notification to the public of this meeting so that they would, I know that it's not required, but in the interest of transparency and having people understand, I mean, it's totally this increase that's causing a big increase on their bill. Did anybody notify them of this hearing or anything? I'm a little bit concerned about that. They, you know, people would like to, maybe they can't do anything about it, but they would probably like to at least have their say. And I'm not sure they're getting a chance and opportunity to have their say here.
Eric or Jeff, would you like either one to respond to that?
I did not reach out to their customers. This is an item that did not fit their Proposition 218 requirements. It was a pass-through charge. I don't know the extent of their communication in advance of their meeting to do this, but they were clear that this has not been approved yet. But they actually asked me, is this going to be approved as recommended? And I told them I have absolutely no confidence, or not no confidence, but I don't have any idea what the outcome will be here. I will say that I told them we've done our best work and we've had our reviews, but it's up to the board still. It's a board decision, and I can't control that they took action. I don't know what to say about that.
Well, I thought you said that the District 36 was supporting this.
Yeah, they are. Yes, the entire District 36 folks have accepted this, and they've actually mm-hmm. gone through their pass-through process, whatever that may be, and implemented mm-hmm. these rates.
Well, I just want to say again that I understand that it's not subject to 218 because it's a pass-through, but I'm concerned about transparency, whether it has to do with us abiding by a law or not. And I think we should have at least gone to the town council and mentioned that this was coming up. I'm really concerned that sort of discussion didn't happen.
I see that Mr. Stone has his hand up, and he probably has the historical context of what's the past and the best practice.
I was just going to ask Mr. Stone to go ahead and weigh in on this. Go ahead, Mr. Stone.
Thanks. Yeah, notwithstanding that comment, you know, our relationship there is as the wholesaler. So our customer is LA County Public Works, our waterworks district 36. Mm-hmm. And so, Lynn, our approach was to try to engage them early. We reached out to them almost a year ago to give them a heads up that we would be working on the wholesale rates and describe the key issue of the, you know, this ongoing commitment to provide service if needed and that capacity that sits there available for their use, but declining revenues to support that. And they actually agreed with, you know, conceptually, they wanted to see how things played out once we did a detailed cost study. We then presented that to their staff and discussed some options. And in fact, discuss some options about how to transition to the new structure, which I think was one of the reasons we're adopting this now and not late last year, was they had asked for either a transitional cost or a longer time period to prepare and implement for those costs. So from you know, I understand your comment, and I'm not arguing necessarily with it, but I think the relationship there is with Waterworks 36 as an institution, and it would be incumbent on them to engage their customers about a retail rate increase if that were coming, to explain that. We certainly would have been happy to try to help work with them and explain that, but we didn't feel like we should be out there talking to their customers about a rate increase, because how they pass that through, how they use reserves or not to temper that, are all factors that we don't control. The other thing I'd say is, I think based on this cost of service, their customers have actually been enjoying a bit of a windfall over the last few years, as this capacity has been there for them if their well were to go offline at any time, with a kind of a declining contribution to keeping that capacity ready. Mm-hmm. And this will hopefully put us on a footing going forward where they have the best of both worlds. They have a well they can rely on normally, and backup capacity from our system if and when needed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand the logic of it. And I, you know, I understand that you would feel that District 36 is, but we have a representative that's supposed to represent District 36 on our board. So it's startling to me that no one even, you know, at least him maybe didn't go to the town council and mention this was happening. And I don't know. I just feel like the increase still, whatever it is due to us. And it may be very fair, but it's still an increase that's coming from us. And I'm just worried that the public wasn't totally informed. And not, I understand how you feel that it's not entirely our fault, but I think some of the responsibility would lie with us anyway. So that's all I have to say. I'll
very
stop.
Good. Director Planbeck, thank you. Director Armitage, go ahead.
Thank you. To address the concerns that Director Planbeck just brought up, I do attend the Val Verde Civic Association meetings each month. And I did give them a heads up that this was coming onto the agenda in case any of them wanted to listen in or give public comment on it. So they did get a heads up from me. I don't know if anybody's listening in, but I just wanted to make sure that they knew that this conversation was happening so they could understand our side of it as it relates to the changes that are coming to them through District 36. The other thing I wanted to comment on was to also say thank you to both Mr. Campbell and Ms. Keto. Ms. Keto, in your written report that I was able to read really quickly before our meeting, because it came to us just before the meeting, you have three recommendations in your written report, and you did mention one of them when you spoke with us just now. And I'm wondering, and I guess this question is to Mr. Campbell, will these recommendations be added to the agreement with District 36? So the recommendations were the one she already mentioned, which was monitor volume of water purchased and reevaluate standby rate methodology if the revenue consistently exceeds projections. The second was ensure revenue from wholesale water rates benefit both retail and wholesale customers, which I think we addressed. It was addressed somewhere else in the written report. And third, she recommends conservation standards be a part of the standby agreement to promote efficiency. So I'm wondering if those are going to be included in the agreement.
Sorry about that. I was trying to unmute. So the monitoring of the performance of the rates, which includes the volumetric purchases and the ability to cover the costs, those are the first two items. Yes, those won't be in the actual contract. Those are on my team to monitor and keep people informed on, because, you know, just like the retail rates, this wholesale rate is based on a set of assumptions and estimates. And as things go along, we will evaluate the effectiveness of the rate at design and the cost allocations. Now, as far as conservation goes, there are no conservation costs in the variable charge, because they have not been purchasing any water. There's a couple of things here, and I hope I can say this clearly, is when we put a conservation charge, a component into a rate, we're attempting to incent a certain behavior. And they have a record of purchasing very little to no water with us. And so therefore we didn't include any of those costs in. The other side of the coin is if you look at, we looked at internally, we had the discussions with our rest of our water team, the conservation folks, what has been the level of participation of customers of District 36 residential and water users of District 36 in our conservation programs. And the answer to that is it's been extremely low over time, and it just didn't really come across that it was something that we should bake into our rates. The closest thing to a conservation charge or the element is some of the costs of the studies that have been taken care of for evaluating the sufficiency and our water resource plans. Some of that has been built into the fixed charge, so we're guaranteed to get a recovery of a certain piece of those, which are necessary and applicable to this analysis. So I hope that answers your question.
Just maybe to clarify on the third point of the I wasn't understanding that it would be a conservation charge. I'm wondering if Ms. Keto would speak to that. Is that what she meant with her third recommendation?
Yeah, so what I meant was it is recommended if, you know, any type of agreement was placed between the agency and the district, District 36, the language for the conservation effort should be included, you know, anytime you're selling water to retail customers, that, you know, just encouraging conservation should be included in the language. But you know, I do understand that that's not a part of the agreement or, you know, contract that you have between the district agency, Eric. Is that correct?
Yeah. And if I may, I'd like to point out that on a closely related note, Director Plenbeck at one point had mentioned that she was concerned that if the state put a mandate on us to conserve by a certain percentage, we should be able to pass and have that same apply to them. And we can do that. That is part of the resolution to make sure that if we have a mandate, we can include that in their work as well and in their contract as well.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. Director Kahle, you have your hand.
Yes, thank you. So I spent about 20 hours with the report trying to understand it, and it is replete with errors, things which are not defined, quantities that make no sense. The units oftentimes make no sense. It's filled with errors that really make it extremely difficult for me to understand. I sent on Friday, and unfortunately, the 20 hours I spent over several days, and so I wasn't able to really get all of my comments down, my questions and comments down until Friday. And so staff has obviously not been able to respond. Well, I haven't received a response, and I'm sure that's, you know, 2 pages of comments and questions, which I can understand that when I provide those on Friday, they're not going to be able to answer them in detail by Tuesday. So what I would ask, because it'd be pretty irresponsible of me to drag this meeting on till midnight to read all these questions and try to get the answers, I would ask that we table this. I'm not questioning the overall approach. I believe that a fix and a volumetric charge is absolutely appropriate. I think that a fair allocation of the cost is absolutely appropriate. But I don't understand some of how it was done and the logic for some of it. And so I had, like I say, 2 pages of questions. And so my preference would be to not try to dissect this thing in detail in a meeting with all the directors present right now. Rather, if we could table this such that I could work with staff to get my questions answered, I think the report would improve. I think that we can reach I'm pretty sure that I can agree with the end result if these errors are fixed and if I can understand how we arrived at it. So my preference would be to table this if that is something the board would consider. I don't want to make that a motion yet in case somebody else has a comment, because motion to table cuts off all discussion.
Yes, and that's why I recommended that a motion to postpone be used in this circumstance, because that is debatable and you all can decide whether to do it or not. And you can postpone to a definite date or to an indefinite date.
All right, let's continue. I understand Director Colley's concern, and we will take up his suggestion once we get through some more comments from the board. And before that, though, I'd like to hear from Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your hand recognition skills are getting better with each meeting. It's not always easy to see them all. I actually think I appreciate Director Colley's suggestion. I know that staff did get an email and has tried to develop some responses, but I think that would be an efficient way from board time standpoint to try to handle it. And given this does not take effect until April, we could potentially take this up at another time. The other thing that weighs on me is the fact that the Rapier Advocate report was only delivered to the board this afternoon. And that would also provide more time for that to be out in public and in the hands of the board. So what I would suggest is that we go ahead and use a little bit of time tonight to get any other questions so that everyone's sort of on the same footing. And then staff can interact further with Director Colley on his questions if needed, and then bring back any clarifications or revisions to the report at a later time to adopt.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. Director Cooper.
Well, I lowered my hand, but I have great confidence in staff and in the ratepayer advocate. I think getting a recommendation from the ratepayer advocate that says this meets all of the requirements and seems to be a fair process, I'm ready to move forward on it. I don't see any reason to hold back on this.
Thank you, Director Kirby. Director Ozahowski.
Director Colley, a quick question for you. Are you referring to how the procedures were used from the M1 manual? And a question to President Martin, could we get a copy of Director Colley's two-page description of all the errors that you noticed in the report?
Yes, Director Ozahowski, I will entertain a motion to postpone once we get through discussion. And once that happens, if it is the pleasure of the board to postpone this item, I'm sure Director Colley's list of comments can be distributed to all members.
Okay, understood. So back to you, Director Colley. Are you referring to how the procedures of the M1 manual were used to determine these rates?
So one of my questions is how apparently Fireflow was used, and how is that relevant to this particular analysis? I think that's what the study doesn't actually tell us directly that was used, but that by implication, I think that's what was used. And I don't really understand that. So yeah, that is a question of mine. Yes, I think the answer to your question is that was one of my concerns.
Okay. Thank you, Director Colley. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. Before I go to Ichiko, she has her hand up, but that appears to be just a kind of a sampling of your list of questions. I don't know that there's much to be gained by discussing a response to that question unless we're going to discuss the rest of them. But Ichiko, go ahead and whatever you have to add, go ahead.
Well, I was going to so that specific question, but I can probably, you know, help some Eric putting the answers together and present it to the board. Later, if you know it's if you think it's not necessary to answer the question, answer that specific question right now.
I'd just like to call in one thing about this. This was a lot of work. I'm happy to answer all of the questions. However, there's a distinction between errors and being called out that I'm full of errors and just someone not understanding the content. And I think we have a bit of that rather than the errors. We've had enough experts looking at this. And I think maybe the big problem is I could do a better job with if people were interested in writing the administrative record. The events won't change. The results won't change. But I have looked through the comments and I've got answers to those things. We can tie this up and do it however you would like. If people are more comfortable with pushing this out another month, we can still do that for March and come back with a more detailed lecture on how this cost of service was done. If people are deeply interested in the mechanics of it, we still could get the April implementation that we're looking for. So I'm happy to do whatever the board would like for me to do.
Very good. Thank you, Eric. Director Klambeck, go ahead.
Yeah, I would support Director Colley's request to have it pushed out too, because I think it would be helpful to really have a better amount of time to read the Repair Advocates report that didn't come in until late. And I think a presentation would help. And, you know, if we're going to approve rate increases, I just think it's really important that we all understand them. And I would appreciate having that additional time as well.
Thank you, Director Klambeck. Are there any other questions before I make my comment? Director Ford, oh, you have your hand. You've had your hand up for a while, I see. I'm sorry I didn't call on you, sir. Go ahead.
Actually, Director, President Martin, thank you. And in your defense, I dropped it temporarily as well, too. My discussions have only been with Waterworks District 36 staff, who seem to echo what the general manager stated, was that in a sense it was borrowed time, given that they were largely relying on a commodity charge and something akin to a standby charge was coming, forthcoming, and they thought was reasonable. But with that, I second, or at least not, I don't second, but I agree with Director Colley with regard to some more detail, particularly on the calculations that went into the fixed charge, as well as the variable charge, would help me a great deal. So, and that was my only comment. Thank you.
Vice President Gladbeck, go ahead.
Yeah, Director Colley, are your comments substantive? Would it affect the charges, or is it really the writing of the text?
Well, there are things which made it difficult to understand, and so I could not predict for certain whether or not the end result might change if until I understand the answers to my questions better, until I understand the report better, I can't tell you for certain. I'm not disagreeing with the overall approach. Again, I think that a fixed charge and a variable charge are appropriate. I think that that the overall approach is sound. I think that there are potentially parts of the details. I don't understand, for example, where debt is recovered. I couldn't figure that out from the report. It may be in there and I just can't find it. If it's not, I'd like an explanation. That's an example of something I don't understand, so can't tell you for sure. how that would come out. I mean, again, I could go through the two pages, but that would take, you know, in the next couple of hours. And so I would expect anyway. And I don't think that would be, I don't think that's a good idea. So I think, and I don't think we need to, you know, as Eric has pointed out, there is enough time to pass this next month and still have the charges as scheduled. So that's really all I'm asking for, is just an opportunity. And perhaps staff would want to change numbers a little bit.
Answering my question, Director Colley. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Vice President Mortensen.
Thank you, President Martin. Yeah, I would agree with Director Colley. I got some anomalous numbers as I was playing through this myself. In the resolution, we're setting the variable price at $205.88 per acre foot. But in the staff report under financial considerations, the number of acre feet times that number does not equal the $257,300 in the staff report. So we're off a little there. I get that it's 205.84 based on that number. Another anomalous number was that the staff report uses 1,250 acre feet for the total maximum delivery. The ratepayer advocate uses 1,240 acre feet. It's a small thing, but it'd be interesting to see where the difference came from. I would support continuing this one more month.
Thank you, Vice President Mortensen. Are there any other comments or questions from the board? Seeing none, I am concerned. Rather startling comment by Director Colley to say he's found a multiple page list of problems he has with the report. And while I do agree with Director Cooper that we probably can move forward, I think you know, we were lectured last night about confidence in what we do. And I think since there's not a time sensitive issue regarding passing this measure, I think it's probably somewhat irresponsible to vote on this while that list of concerns is out there and haven't been resolved, at least as a public perception. And so with that, I would entertain a motion to postpone this to a future date.
So moved, Armitage.
Motion by Director Armitage. Do we have a second?
Bronstein seconds.
Do we have any discussion before we call the roll to postpone? Seeing none, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Please unmute your lines. As I call your name, please cast your vote. Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Atkins.
Yes.
Director Plambeck.
Yes.
Director Ozuchowski.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen.
Yes.
Vice President Gladbeck.
Yes.
President Martin.
Yes.
This item has been postponed.
And I would encourage Director Colley and Vice President Mortensen to make contact with staff and try to get your concerns addressed before this comes before the board again. Thank you. Director Colley, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to get my concerns addressed. Thank you very much.
Very good. With that, we can move on to item 6.2. Our presenter tonight is Mr. Dirk Marks, authorized the general manager to execute an amendment to the reservoir agreement for Sites Reservoir to fund necessary planning costs. Mr. Marks.
There we go. I'm all unmuted now. Thank you, President Martin. Next slide, April. So this presentation regards to continuing our participation in the planning effort for Sites Reservoir. You ask yourself if we have an urban water management plan that indicates that we are reliable with our current set of assets in our water supply portfolio. Why would we be interested in participating in the site? So address that question, as well as looking at the longer term feasibility of the project, its cost, and what we might anticipate getting out of the project. Next slide, April. So first, just an overview of the project itself. It's a 1.5 million acre foot reservoir. It's located about 60 miles north of Sacramento in the Sacramento Valley on the western portion of the valley near the community of Maxwell. The reservoir is off-stream reservoir in that it takes water out of the Sacramento River via the Tillamookaloosa and the GCID main canal, doing high flow periods, puts that water into Sites Reservoir, and that water is then delivered primarily during dry and critical years. Next slide, April. So this is just a diagram of how the project would work. Water is diverted out of the Sacramento River at existing canal outtakes that are have modern fish screens on them. Water is conveyed to a set of balancing reservoirs, and then it would be pumped into Sites Reservoir. Water comes back through those same reservoirs for South Delta participants. Water would flow down the Tillamookaloosa Canal into a new pipeline called the Dunnigan Pipeline. From there, water would be conveyed from the Calusa Drain back into the Sacramento River. We have the next slide, April. Thank you. So getting to the question of why would we be interested in continuing to explore new water supply project. And that's because of the uncertainty that's associated with both our current and the proposed projects that are in our urban water management plan. There are a number of uncertainties. You know, climate change has impacts on most of the assets that are in our urban plan. While the urban plan did consider climate change, there's always the chance that climate change could be more extreme than the medium assumptions that were incorporated into the urban plan. We right now are living through the the aspect of having a temporary disruption of our groundwater banking program, our groundwater locally here, due to PFAS. You know, that took out about 15,000 acre feet of our water supply. Our state project, of course, is subject to regulatory constraints. We have a groundwater sustainability plan that's been submitted by the state, has not yet been approved by the state. The state is developing new water conservation measures. Which will have physical implications as well as potential water supply implications when it comes to recycled water. That some of our planned groundwater banking programs could potentially be impacted by new conditions of emerging concerns. Siting of the wells for our Rosedale program. We do not yet have a contract in place with the with Five Point for our New Holland semi-tropic asset that's anticipated in the urban plan. And then there's just the general siting and permitting of additional wells, both in the alluvium and the Saugus formation. Sites of reservoir, in a way, it tends to be a hedge against climate change, should be become more viable as we see less snowpack and more streams with higher flows coming down the Sacramento River that the project could access. Potential also that we'd see additional benefits should a Delta conveyance facility come online and we'd have less carriage water losses. And then the site's reservoir is also subject to uncertainties when it comes to increased regulatory constraints on the operating criteria for the reservoir. Next slide. So what we have here is a series of bar charts, and this just shows, and the solid covers our existing facilities, our existing assets. The ones with the dots on it are our future or anticipated projects. And then you see a an additional area above the black dot there, which is our water demands without or with only passive conservation. You'll see that we show there a contingency supply. And that's where site reservoir or a potential program with AVEC could come in and provide us additional supplies. Next slide, April. This is the same thought here, but again, as you'll see in future supply, in a single dry year in 2050, more of our water supplies are ones which are dependent on future actions or future portions of our portfolio developing. And the uncertainties associated with that. And again, the idea that sites could provide part of that contingency supply. Next slide. So, just wanted to talk briefly about the fact that we do have multiple paths to achieving reliability, even if some of our anticipated water supplies don't develop. So here's a summary of what's in our water supply portfolio. And the source, future supplies, some of the things that we have, we're going to have to deal with. And then we also add at the bottom our AVIC, the potential AVIC banking program and sites, a banking program. And next slide, April. So in our 2021 reliability plan, we looked at certain contingencies. What we mainly, we had a base supply of what our current assets could provide us in with active conservation. Those potentially could provide us a supply that meets demand through the 2035, 2040 time period. But we would need those additional assets to come on board. Scenario one is our urban water management plan, how we achieve reliability. And then scenarios two through five dealt with us having a portion of our new water supplies not coming into development, and will be used here more than the new Saugus supplies. Saugus scenario two and three assume that we were only able to develop Saugus 3 and 4. And then scenarios 5 and 6 went even more conservative and said, well, what happens if we don't get any new Saugus wells made available to us? Are there other ways that we can achieve reliability? And the answer was yes, through a combination of bringing other assets on board. Scenario two brought the AVIC plan on board. Scenario three brought Sites Reservoir on board. And then for scenarios four and five, we had sites in AVIC, and in one case we even added the McMillan Aqua Terra Groundwater Bank on. But the point of this is that we do have options to achieve reliability. And given uncertainties, you know what, from my professional perspective, it's important to keep those options available to us. Next slide, April. So we'll go over some of the investments that we've made to date and those that are proposed. Next slide, April. So the project is divided up into five phases. First phase, which was forming the JBA and getting on the list to receive Prop 1 funding, that's been completed. From there, we've moved into phase two, which is completion of the environmental impact report statement and acquisition of key permits, and such as interim tank permits and water rights. Phase three is preparing the final design, and then we move into construction in mid-late 2024 through 2030, and then operation in 2030. And like with any project, delays in securing permits or water rights could impact the construction. Next slide, April. So this is more of a breakdown of what's happened in the phase one and phase two periods. So in phase one, we're successful in that we invested $60 an acre foot. Well, it's actually 50 an acre foot actual. We got the state funding and a commitment for the state to fund up to $816 million for the public benefit portion of the reservoir, which included mainly focused on environmental benefits for fisheries. Phase two is just what we're wrapping up. For phase 2A, we undertook a value engineering process. We downsized the reservoir, right-sized it to the current 1.5 million acre foot, as well as recognized important ways that we could reduce the cost of the project. So we're now in phase 2B, and here we committed $100 an acre foot for our 5,000 acre feet participation level. And this process, we've got an updated environmental EIR, EIS. In producing that document, also met a milestone with the California Water Commission and remained eligible for state funding, which actually had increased to $836 million over the zero period. So Amendment 3 would initiate Phase 2C, which is finishing the EIR, EIS, that would secure critical permits such as take permits for endangered species, operating permits from California Department of Fish and Game, securing water rights, and advancing the design and pre-construction of facilities up to the point that we are ready to finance. I wanted to make the point that this is only a commitment for this $400 an acre foot or $2 million over this next 3 years. We will have the ability to not participate at this point in time, not until we get into the final financing for the project. Next slide, April. So what's the cost of this water? Next slide. So this is definitely a mega project. It's has a current estimated construction of $2.2 billion, along with contingencies and mitigation costs. Total costs are anticipated to be $3.9 billion in 2021. As you can see on the figures on the left there, there's a substantial amount of work to get this project done, over 20 million cubic yards of fill to build the dams, for instance. Next slide, April. of the project's cost are divided between fixed and variable cost. The variable costs are basically the water, the cost to get water in and out of the aqueduct, and wheeling cost, because we're using other people's facilities to convey water in and out of from the Sacramento River back into Sacramento River. Most of the costs are fixed debt service on that construction cost is the main portion of that. There are also admin cost, fixed O&M cost, replacements, and bond reserves. Next slide, April. So what we anticipate is that we're going to see debt service be the majority of the water supply, over 85%. And then the ongoing O&M, that 10% fixed cost, and then the variable cost primarily. Next slide. What did we get out of the reservoir? Next slide. So our 5,000 acre-foot participation level basically gives us 31,000 acre-feet of capacity in that 1.5 million acre-foot reservoir. Here you can see on the right-hand side of the graphic the division of the reservoir. North of Delta participants, roughly 25%. The largest single group of participants are the South Delta participants, primarily state water contractors, Bureau of Reclamation, and then again the state of California with its 244,000 acre feet of participation. And it's important to know that the participants have control over how that storage is used in the reservoir. You can make operational decisions year by year. Do you want to try to maximize the amount of water that you get out of the reservoir? Or do you want to hold it in reserve for critically dry years? You also have the ability to sell water to other participants, or to even lease out your storage space for some period of time, if you found a willing partner there. Next slide. So there's many ways to look at cost. One way to look at affordability is the average annual cost, or all the project costs are divided by all the quantity of water that you get out of the project. It's useful, but it's not how you pay, because you're paying your debt every year, whether you're getting water out of the project or not. What's the water going to cost your agency in the dry critical periods when you are using the supply? So it's a useful way to look at it, but it's not by any means the only way to look at the supply. Next slide. Mm-hmm. So in terms of cost for us, our share of the fixed cost would be roughly $97 million. Once that gets financed, it's anticipated that that would be, you know, annual debt service of about $4.3 million. That when you look at the cost of the project, you'll also have to consider the fact that you have carriage losses. So if you have carriage losses, which typically run between 10 and 35%, by the time you get water south of the Delta, it's going to be somewhere between $1,000 if you're optimistic and you get low carriage losses, you know, up to $1,300 an acre foot. Permitting could also impact the relative cost that you see. These are based on the yields that are in the EIR. You know, I anticipate that getting the operating permits from Fish and Wildlife will increase those costs. They're probably somewhere in the 10% range. But we don't know that at this point in time. Nonetheless, this water supply is comparable in order of magnitude to the Buena Vista Rosedale supply that we currently have. And that supply is a supply that we take every year, whereas this supply is a supply that comes in primarily during the dry and critical years. Next slide, April. I did an analysis here that looked at what happens to the relative affordability of Sites Reservoir compared to the Buena Vista Rosedale supply. Right now we're paying $930 an acre foot for our Buena Vista Rosedale supply. And that's going up at inflation rate. And for this analysis, I assumed a 4.5% inflation rate. But Sites Reservoir are caught the most. Primarily, our Sites Reservoir costs are fixed. And the only portion that's going up at 4.5% are the that 15% of non, or that 15% of the O&M and variable cost. So when you start projecting those costs out, in about 10 years, you actually see a crossover where Sites Reservoir would actually become a little bit more affordable than the Buena Vista Rosedale supply. Next slide. So, part of what we need to consider when we start looking at the value of banking programs is, are they giving us water in the years when we need it? And Sites Reservoir does that. It moves water. It would be moving water to us in dry and critical years. And there are some potential things we could do with either transferring some water or effectively selling some water if we decide that we've got enough water in other storage programs, or even potentially leasing some of our assets on a temporary basis. And that could potentially make the supply somewhat more affordable. Next slide. So we did also do an analysis of what the project would mean to our ratepayers. With that $4.9 million of and cost, looking out at 2050 when we have annual water sales of about 100,000 acre feet, that's 44 million building units. And when we did the math, that came out to be 11 cents per CCF. The cost for a customer who might be using on average 15 CCFs per month would come up to about $1.67 per month. So that gives you an idea of kind of the type of rate impacts might be inside of them. So next step, Sable. Next slide. The next step is committing to completing the planning cost. It's likely to take 3 years. It might take a year and a half before in about a year and a half, there's a potential that we might be asked to consider a long-term financial commitment, but that is not not known at this point in time. But before any long-term financial commitment to this project would be made, it would come back to the board for your consideration. So what we're also asking today is a commitment to complete the planning process for the project. And there are opportunities to rebalance our participation either up or down. But if we wanted to take it up, that would be subject to other participants decreasing their participation level. Next slide. So the Water Resources Watershed Committee did review the material, and they recommended authorizing, or that the board authorize the general manager authority to execute this third amendment. And with that, I'd be happy to address any questions.
Thank you, Dirk, for the presentation. Excellent, as always. Very informative. But we need to entertain public comment, if there are any. April, do we have any members of the public who would like to comment?
Does not appear so.
Very good. With that, we can open up to discussion. Director Colley, you have your hand up, so go ahead, sir.
President Martin, actually, yes. Diana Troutman does have her hand up now.
All right, very good.
Hold on just a moment, Diana. You may begin your public comment, Diana. Ms. Troutman, you may begin your public comment.
Oh, okay, finally got the unmute. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Diane Troutman, and I'm actually speaking on behalf of the Sierra Club tonight. And we're really in opposition of ongoing investment in the site's reservoir project. Existing water diversions have already taken a massive toll on salmon runs last year. And so when Mr. Marks talked about the environmental benefits to fisheries, I think the people up there would have a different opinion on that. It's been very detrimental to local tribes and area fishermen. And that's just one aspect of the environmental destruction that will occur with the project as proposed. According to the revised draft environmental impact report and supplemental draft environmental impact statement, the site's reservoir project would have significant and unavoidable effects on water and air quality, vegetation, wetland, and wildlife, and adverse impacts on tribal cultures, cultural resources. We have about 1,400 dams in California and no new water. This project will drown 14,000 acres of grassland, woodlands, chaparral, and riparian habitat, and the 24 sensitive, endangered, or threatened species that live in and around them, and to merely divert existing water at a cost of $3.9 billion. I saw a price tag of $800,000 in ratepayer dollars that you may put forward for this effort. That's really in defiance of the reality of limited water resources for the foreseeable future. And Mr. Marks also spoke of the uncertainties of water assets in the urban water management plan and talked about maybe the climate change could be more extreme than estimated. And I think you really need to go back and look at how extreme it will be. So digging into the details, people will also learn that most of the water will go to the Metropolitan Water District in the Central Valley, not to us and other small water districts. Prop 1 was sold to Californians and the Sierra Club supported it as a means to invest in long-term water conservation efforts while protecting the environment. We also need an honest conversation about what water sustainability should look like, including discussion of reduction in high water use crops in the Central Valley. Your graph in the PowerPoint presentation comparing the acre feet unit costs of the site's reservoir and the Buena Vista Rosedale storage, I would say you've projected that in about 11 years, the cost for Buena Vista will surpass costs of sites. That's if you get the water, because you're talking about dry and critical dry years. So you really need to devise a new approach. Our community and those whose environment and livelihoods would be irreparably damaged by the site's reservoir deserve better than the site's reservoir project. Please reconsider before you plunge us into a long-term agreement that will not meet our needs. Please vote no. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Troutman. Is there any further public comment? There is not. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. Then Director Colley, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, one of the comments I wanted to make is that Dirk's comparison of the costs kind of leave out an important part, which only makes us more attractive. When folks consider the difference between renting and buying a house, the advantage obviously is at the end of paying a 30-year mortgage, you own the house. And I believe in this case, unless I'm mistaken, Dirk, at the end of the paying off the debt, we would own, you know, the folks that have paid that debt would own the asset, and the water would become, by any measure, much, much more affordable. And since we are in this for the long term, I assume we have a build out of 50 years from now, this water becomes much more attractive once that debt is paid. Is that analysis on my part accurate there, Dirk?
Yes, after the financing of fixed costs is over, the cost would drop significantly.
Yeah, I think it more than significant, it would plummet. So, yes,
but 80% decrease.
Yeah, so I think that continuing our participation into the planning phase makes a lot of sense to me. And when I speak with ratepayers, the most important concern is reliability. And I think this is an important component of that. Although I also note that the future DIRCs of our agency are going to have even more complications in trying to figure this water out, because it's different than any other water supply. So it does add some complication, but certainly some huge benefits.
Thank you, Director Colley. Does that complete your comment?
Yes, it does. Thanks.
Len, you're muted. Are you ready to give your... I did call you. Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just, you know, continue to believe that CITES is a 20th century response to a 21st century problem. We really don't have new water to fill it up. We have all of our reservoirs now at less than 50%, most of them, even after a lot of rainfall. And hopefully when there's spring snow melt, that will increase. But, you know, we have massive storage already. I don't know that building a new reservoir when we have so much empty space is really the best way to spend the money. And I just am concerned that I just think groundwater storage projects like the one in AVEC make so much more sense for our community. The evaporation problem is reduced. Some of the transportation costs would be reduced. And I wish that there had been comparison with the proposed AVEC storage rather than with our current Buena Vista storage. I think that would have been more helpful for analyzing it. And, you know, I agree with Ms. Troutman that there's going to be really substantial impacts to the fisheries. I don't see how that can be avoided if you're going to take that much more water out of the river. And the river only has so much to give. We're already taking a lot. I just want to, and I just feel like it's not going to happen in the end between the cost of electricity to pump water up to the off-stream reservoir to the, and I haven't read the EIR, which I guess I better go do, but I didn't realize an EIR was out on it. But I'm just really concerned that this is one more boondoggle when we really should be looking at water storage. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Director Planback. Director Hozahowski, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Marks. Glad to have you back. Excellent presentation. I echo Director Colley's remarks. Highly support this project. CITES Reservoir is a surface supply. So the fact that the current available delta pump windows occur in the summer and the delivery of this supply is more readily scheduled in high demand summer months, that'll be phenomenal for Santa Clarita. So highly support this project. That's all. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you, Director Hozahowski. Director Armitage, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you also to Mr. Marks for the presentation. Thank you also to Ms. Troutman for the comments made. Since sustainability should have equal consideration for social, environmental, and economic factors, and gets really important to hear the comments that she made. So for me, in addition to reading the materials that were provided in our packet for today, to kind of give me what I felt I needed a more complete picture, I looked for any past presentations that were made to the board on the options that the agency has been presented to increase supply so that I could help try to compare amongst the various options. And I found the presentation that was made in July of 2020 that I think very nicely gave an overview of the potential management options of water. So the options that were analyzed were CITES Reservoir, the groundwater banking projects, the Saugus wells, and recycled water. And the three groundwater banking projects that were looked at were the Semitropic, Rosedale, and Antelope Valley East Current, or ABEC. So I appreciated that it included a table that listed the risks associated with the various options. And it also had a separate table that listed the cost per acre foot for all the options. So according to that information and from that presentation, Sites Reservoir is listed as the highest risk option, since it is tied to the issues that the Delta project has going on. It's vulnerable to Delta seismic and subsidence issues. It relies on the San Joaquin Aqueduct, and it's vulnerable to West Branch seismic activity. In terms of costs, it was listed as the second most costly option after recycled water. I did see in the written report that was given to us today, and Mr. Marks did refer during his presentation, that the site's reservoir costs are now closer to those of the Buena Vista, Rosedale, Rio Bravo. But in general, if you look at the other banking options, it does seem that water banking options are less costly. I did reach out to Mr. Marks today to ask if there were any updated cost figures for better or more recent cost comparisons. And he did say that they have initiated a new cost analysis, but that those figures aren't available yet. I also look for information about the site's reservoir put out by any independent nonpartisan policy think tanks, and found it interesting that the Public Policy Institute of California had a fact sheet about dams in California, in which it stated that new dams or reservoirs can improve flexibility, but costs are high, and that improving operations of existing dams and the water grid to maximize groundwater storage is key for managing hotter droughts and larger floods that climate change is expected to bring. So directing funds at the site's reservoir feels like throwing money at an antiquated system to try to squeeze a little bit more money or more water, excuse me, from a system designed, as Ms. Director Planbeck had said, a system designed in the 20th century and is not easily adaptable to 21st century conditions with our changing climate. When we can invest that money in other areas that are more reliable and either cost comparative or perhaps less costly. So I am not in favor of participating in the site's reservoir project, but would rather that we get our supplemental water through expansion of our groundwater banking program options, since they seem to be either cost comparative or less costly. They come with less vulnerability and risk. They're less harmful to the ecology up north, and they don't exacerbate the environmental justice issues that the locals and the tribes along the Delta in the Sacramento River Basin are very loudly voicing. And then furthermore, I'd like to see the agency exploring how we can continue to build up our local and our regional resources so that recycling water and stormwater capture can become cost-effective options to us as regulations evolve, as technology improves, and as regional collaborative projects grow and become more available. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Armitage. Director Cooper.
Yes, this was reviewed at the Planning and or the Engineering and Operations Committee, and comes with the committee's recommendation. And I think what really brings it around is that our job is water planning, and water projects need to look out to the future. There's nothing that's immediate in the water industry. Is we're always looking out 10 years ahead of what the need is going to be. And when we started looking at the costs of Sites Reservoir in comparison to Rosedale Rio Bravo, the water is comparable, and it's a new source of water. It's a source of water where we can get 10,000 acre feet a year up there. So I think it behooves us to look to the future, provide an additional source of water, and at least continue on at this point with the planning that's being done on Sites Reservoir. It gives us an in on it should we decide down the road that we do want to be in on it. But I think at this point, we need to continue with the planning. I think it's a good opportunity. Water in California needs more storage. And this is the first one that's come about in a long time. And I'd like us to be in on the ground floor of this as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Cooper. I'm going to call on Director Ford next, but Director Colley, I will get to you. I just want to give the other directors, if I haven't spoken yet, a chance. So Director Ford, please.
Thank you, President Martin. Yeah, this item was heard at Water Resources and Watershed Committee, and it was the consensus of the committee to move it forward to the board for approval. We recognize that at this point, as Dirk has rightly pointed out, we need a good insurance policy and we need to have all the above for options. Groundwater banking programs are wonderful, but you need a source of water to put water into those banking programs. And this is the kind of program we need to do that. So I am in support of moving on with the amendment to the agreement for the Sites Reservoir. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Ford. Director, Vice President Gladbach, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I agree with all the comments that were made by Director Cooper and Director Ford. To me, it's another option that we have, and we have the option now. If we don't take it now, it won't be there in the future. And the other groundwater banking programs, I agree, are very good. They're going to be there in the future. But we also need, I think, different options that we can call on, because there are times when something else may not be available. So I think it's a good deal. I've supported it from the first, and I think we need to continue supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Gladbach. Director Atkins, go ahead.
Thank you. Water resources in California is an all of the above concept. We've been discussing that for a decade. We don't really have much choice here. And this is a good deal for right now. I'm in favor.
Thank you, Director Atkins. Director Colley, go ahead.
Yeah, I reiterate that the cost comparison, first, it's very difficult to compare the cost because it's markedly different storage and how you do the metric is, as Dirk pointed out, so artfully, very difficult to really do. But whatever you do, I think it'd be more fair to consider this to be a 100-year investment rather than a 30-year investment. And then there was a couple of comments about taking water out of the river. And as I understand it, the water is taken out of the river and put back into the river. And it's a temporal difference, and I guess maybe a small amount for evaporation. But in general, the water that's taken out is put back in just at a different time. So I'm not sure I understand completely the concern, but right now we're not participating in the actual destruction of anything. We're participating in planning, and I'm very much in favor. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Colley. Director Bronstein.
Thank you. I understand the need to want to be on ground level on something like this that's going to be around for 100 years. But if we're on the ground level of a crumbling building because it's not feasible and it's not sustainable in another 20 years, I don't know what we're throwing money at. I'm a bit concerned about the whole Delta situation in general. I think the opposition that we have right now and the EIRs that are out, the tribal concerns, it makes me feel very uncomfortable going ahead and supporting something like this. I think we have enough points that Director Armitage, Plan Back, and Ms. Trotman brought up that it's hard to rely on something that's also north of the Delta, you know, with seismic stuff. Yeah, it just, I, we're asking our ratepayers to pay into something that's a gamble, in my opinion. That's all.
Thank you, Director Bronstein. Do we have any other director comments? Seeing none, I'm not going to repeat all the comments that were made in favor of this project, other than to say, as we have seen, every component of our water supply portfolio is critically important. As Director Atkins said, it's an all of the above approach that we should be taking to water. This is one of the very few new reservoir sites projects that are coming up, and I support moving forward. But I do see Vice President Gladbeck's hand up, so go ahead, sir.
Following your urging, I move we approve the recommendation.
All right, do we have a second, Director, Vice President Gladbeck? Motion.
Second, Director Atkins. Cooper.
Okay. Was that Director Cooper?
Yes.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion before we call for the vote? Madam Secretary, please. Oh, Vice President Mortensen. Oh, you got your, go ahead, sir. I didn't see your hand.
I had a couple of questions for Dirk. I bent my head on this figure four in the materials for quite some time. Do the scenarios base 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, do those represent increasing demand, or do they all represent the same demand? That one I had a difficult time with.
I'm sorry, they all represent the same demand. And the way that particular model works, it runs multiple scenarios starting with today's demands and runs them out through 2050 when we have assumed build out.
Okay, I appreciate that. You also mentioned in your presentation that we can sell the water if we want to. Can I assume that we could also buy from other participants if they were willing to sell and we needed more water than we had? If we can sell, can we also buy?
We could also buy water from other participants.
So there's
assuming that it's available.
Assuming they want to sell, yeah, or willing to sell. Okay, so potential flexibility there. A lot has been made about banking. It's my understanding that banking requires that we have the water to bank. Is that correct?
Yes.
So we first have to procure the water, and then we can bank it, and then we can withdraw it at a later date if we need it. So just banking capacity alone is not sufficient.
That's correct. The bank, our banking portfolio that we have, that we may develop, is reliant on what years when our state water project allocation exceeds the demands that we have inside the surface area. And those years do come along, but you have to have sufficient capacity to capture those supplies when they do come along. Sites reservoir doesn't rely on our existing state project. It provides a new source of water that's in addition to our goal.
And on the other side of the coin, I have been vocal. I am concerned about the distance away. You know, the old saying, many a trip between the bowl and the lip. And it's a long distance between the bowl and the lip on this one. But I believe it provides new water and reliability, and I'm willing to support the motion.
Very good. Director Bronstein, you have another comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, it was sparked by Director Mortensen. My question was, will the water be siphoned to sites? Clearly, it needs to be raining a lot. We have to be getting a lot of water, and there needs to be a risk of flooding or something like that. We all, table A, get all of our water that we need, and then it gets siphoned to site's reservoir? Or is it done at the same time or before?
Right. So the one of the provisions in that will be incorporated into any water right permit is that it would not interfere with the exercise of other water rights. So we could not be diverting water from the site's reservoir if that diversion would interfere with either the Central Valley Project or the State Water Project or any other existing water rights holder exercising their water rights.
So in that situation, we would still be getting all the water that we would need that then we could use to bank.
We would. This project would not interfere with our ability to bank our table A water.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Unless there's any other discussion, we do have a motion and a second. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Please unmute your lines. As I call your name, please cast your vote. Director Osuchowski, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Atkins, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Planbeck, how do you vote?
No.
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
No.
Director Cawley, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Bronstein, how do you vote?
No.
Director Cooper, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Vice President Mortensen?
Yes.
Thank you. Vice President Gladbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Yes.
This item passes. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Dirk, and thank you, Board, for a lively discussion. We can now move to item 6.3. Presenter tonight is our attorney, Tom Bond. This is for approved continuation of remote meetings as described in AB 361 and make required findings. Mr. Bond.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This is the same resolution that we have passed the last couple of meetings. What's asked for in this staff report is if you decide not to extend the period for virtual meetings for another 30 days, that you at least do so for 15 days to allow the meetings that have already been scheduled to go forward. But otherwise, there's no change, and the findings that you'd be making are the same.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bunn. Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment on this item before we open up for board discussion motions?
It does not appear so.
Very good. I would entertain a motion one way or the other on this item or discussion, whatever the director, Planbeck, you have your hand up.
I just wondered if we're ready to go over on hybrid meetings. I think there was one question about what might happen if there was internet interruption for a regular meeting that was also hybrid. And I think that got answered in an acceptable way to the board. And I just want to say that I'm fine going back to in person if we have the hybrid option for staff and for the public.
Well, that is not the question at the moment. Mm-hmm. The hybrid is not ready to move forward with. So did you want to make a different motion or did
all
you
all right
want to
then
just...
I would move that we continue with the resolution and continue remote meetings.
All right. So we have 30... I didn't get that.
Director Planbeck, is that a 30-day motion or a
15-day? That's a 30-day motion.
I would second the 30-day motion. Thank you.
All right. So we have a motion and a second for the 30-day motion. Director Kelly, you have your hand up.
The hand has been put down. The answer has been given. Thank you.
Very good. I think Director Ozahowski, I thought you had your hand up, but I don't see you on my screen. So.
No comment.
All right. Is there any other discussion before we call the roll? Madam Secretary, we have a motion and a second. Please call the roll.
Please unmute your lines. As I call your name, please cast your vote. Director Colley, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ford?
Yes.
Director Cooper?
My apologies, but no.
Director Ozahowski?
No.
Director Plambeck?
Yes.
Director Atkins?
Yes.
Director Armitage?
Yes.
Director Bronstein?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbach?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen?
No.
President Martin?
No.
This item does pass. We have another 30 days. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you all. We now can move on to item 7, committee meeting recap reports for informational purposes only. As you can see, there are three committee meetings, recap reports in your packet. Are there any questions that directors might have or any comments from the chair that may want to make a comment? Seeing none, I see Director Ozahowski. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, a quick comment to the Water Resources and Watershed Committee and staff. Thank you for providing a continuous update on the drought and precipitation levels. I really appreciate that. Thank you. That's all for me. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. Thank you. Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment on item 7?
We do not.
Very good. Seeing no other hands raised, we can move to item 8, written reports for informational purposes only. We have 5 written reports in your packet. Are there any questions that directors might have, or are there any comments from any but members of the staff? I see Director Ozahowski. Go ahead, sir.
A quick question to Mr. Perez regarding Section 8.2. There's a mention that computers are being updated in the laboratory. Is there a reason why they're being updated?
Good evening, Director Ozahowski. Yeah, they're being updated as a part of normal change out. So what happens when they buy new equipment, the equipment has a certain life and it operates with the computer. There's a computer that comes with the equipment together. And as you can think, computers become outdated pretty quickly as opposed to laboratory equipment. Laboratory equipment lasts, for decades at a time, but we have to constantly change out the computer to keep up with the updated, operating systems and all that stuff. So that's the purpose, just to keep up with the updated performance of the computer, security, all that stuff. So the computers that we use with the laboratory equipment are your average computer. They run, your average operating system. For example, right now we're on Windows 10. So we would need to upgrade those laboratory computers from Windows 7 to Windows 10 to keep up with the latest and greatest in patches and security.
Understood. Thank you for that. And that's all for me. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. Director Armitage, you had some questions.
Thank you. Not a question, just a quick comment from regarding the treatment distribution operations and maintenance section report. It was noted that as part of the work being done in the fleet and warehousing section that they're exploring a partnership with College of the Canyons Automotive Internship Program. And I thought that was pretty cool. So yay for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Armitage. Any other questions or comments from the board on item 8? Madam Secretary, did we have any public comment on item 8?
We do not.
Very good. We can move to item 9, President's Report. I have a few things to update the board on tonight. Outside the agency conferences and events, the Urban Water Institute's 2020 Spring Conference is now being held virtually February 16 to 18. topic is the art and science of water, the SCV Chamber 99th anniversary annual awards and installation dinner is scheduled for March 18th, 2022 at 6 p.m. at the Valencia Hyatt. Please let the board secretary know if you're interested in attending either of these events. On a side note, the KHTS Sacramento bus trip has been moved from March 14th through March 15th to May 31st through June 1st. The upcoming virtual regular board meetings, the next board meeting will be held February 15th at 6:30 in the Zoom format. Upcoming virtual committee meetings, February 3rd will be the Engineering and Operations Committee meeting at 5:30. February 9th will be the Water Resources and Watershed Committee meeting at 5:30. February 17th will be the Public Outreach and Legislative Committee meeting at 5:30. And February 28th is the rescheduled Finance and Administration Committee meeting at 6 p.m. The agency will be closed on February 21st, 2022 in observance of President's Day. And that concludes the president's report. We can move to, do we have any public comment on item 9, Madam Secretary?
We do not.
Very good. Unless there's any questions from the board, we can move to item 10, AB 1234 reports. You have a number in your packet for various meetings the directors have attended. Are there any other AB 1234 reports tonight? I see Director Cooper, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Just a quick one. I attended the AQUA board meeting along with Director Gladbeck.
Very good. Director Atkins, you have your hand up.
Yes, I attended a virtual meeting with the Southern California Water Dialogue on the 26th, which was a Wednesday. And the subject matter was some of the funding that's available through federal sources on restoration of watersheds and creeks and so on. I thought it was very insightful, and it's an exciting time for example, the Bouquet Creek restoration. And that's why I plugged in, and I appreciate being able to attend. Thank you.
Very good. By the way, Director Planbeck had a nice written report on the same meeting. Very informative if you get a chance to read it. So do we have any other reports tonight? Seeing none, do we have any public comment, April, on item 10?
We do not.
Very good. We can move to director reports. And the first one up is item 11.1. And the presenter tonight will be Vice President Gladbeck. And it's approved the nomination of Director E.G. Jerry Gladbeck for the Independent Special District Voting Member of the Los Angeles County Local Agency Formation Commission. That's a mouthful. Mr. Dodd. Vice President Gladbeck, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. And thank you, April, for putting this together and getting it on the agenda. The every 4 years, why it comes up to reapply for the position representing all the special districts in LA County on LAFCO. And this time it's my turn up. So I move, or I'll let someone else move the resolution.
Thank you, Vice President Gladbeck. I was going to say, who would like the honor of nominating Vice President? And that happens to be Director Cooper. Do we have a second for the nomination?
Second, Atkins.
Director Atkins seconds the motion. Do we have any discussion? Before I call for the vote, do we have any public comment on 11.1, April?
We do not.
Very good. Please call the roll.
Please unmute your lines. As I call your name, please cast your vote. Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Cooper.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Osahofsky.
Yes.
Director Armitage.
Yes.
Director Colley.
Yes.
Director Planbeck.
Yes, but I wish that this had been sort of put out so the board knows more about, I mean, maybe other people would have liked to have been nominated too. Although Mr. Gladbeck's doing a fine job, it just seems like there might have been other consideration too. So yes, my vote is yes.
Okay. Thank you. Director Bronstein?
Yes.
Director Atkins?
Keep up the good work, Jerry. Yes.
Thank you.
Vice President Mortensen?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbeck?
Yes.
President Martin?
Enthusiastic yes. All right.
Thank you. This item does pass.
Very good.
Gary, I'd like to say a couple of things.
Go ahead, Jerry. Yeah.
I appreciate, you know, your support and my continuation as your representative, or actually all the special districts in L.A. County's representative on L.A. LAFCO. It's with sad news that I got a call late last night, and you perhaps saw the headline in the Daily News this morning on the front page or on the second page of the L.A. Times, second section, that Richard Close has died. Richard Close was probably the best commissioner L.A. has ever had, and I would venture to say he was probably the best commissioner in the whole state. He served for 25 years. He resigned in November, and unfortunately, he resigned to spend time with his family. Unfortunately, he didn't have much time left. So with our regrets and our sympathy for his family. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry, for letting us know that. All right. Unless there's any other comments on this, we can move to item 11.2. And tonight we're going to receive a report from Director Ozahofsky on the January 27, 2022 ad hoc Board Technology and Remote Public Participation Committee meeting. Go ahead, Director O.
Thank you, President Martin. So indeed, we have met on the 27th. In attendance was myself, Director Cooper, Gladbeck, Armitage, Planbeck. Staff in attendance were Mr. Perez, Ms. Patterson, Mr. Cole, Mr. Stone, Mr. Bunn, and Mrs. Jacobs. Summary. Based on information provided at our first meeting in October, the goal of this second meeting was to develop a recommended policy for board consideration with regards to establishing a remote virtual access to the public and staff during regular board meetings, special board meetings, and committee meetings. And that is, I'm referring to the hybrid option. Directors were asked to bring supporting materials that would help make their case in arguing for or against the hybrid option. The full production option was already dismissed due to the high equipment and labor costs. The agency's IT staff provided another thorough review of what is available at the agency's Rio Vista boardroom and what needs to be added in terms of software and hardware. I'm happy to say that implementation costs have decreased since the last meeting. The agency staff confirmed that all costs associated with initial installation of the hybrid option and annual upkeep are within agency budget. Agency's legal counsel confirmed that the hybrid option, as was presented to the committee, will adhere to the Brown Act, provided that directors attend the meetings in person. And the ad hoc committee has reached a consensus, a unanimous agreement. A full recommendation is tentatively planned to be presented to the board at our next regular board meeting. The recommendation will outline all costs, legal considerations, general equipment layout setup, and estimated timeline to completion. I, along with the staff, will present the recommendation to the board. Before I continue, this was the summary. Any questions or comments on the summary from the directors?
Let me ask first if there's any public comment before we entertain questions from the board. April, are there any public comments?
No, there is not.
Very good. So go ahead and open it up.
In that case, okay, go ahead, President Martin. Okay. Vice President Gladbeck?
Yeah, you described it very perfectly, Director Ozahofsky. Thank you. Thanks for your leadership.
Thank you. Director Planbeck, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I liked Mr. Martin saying Director O. I think I'm going to use that. I just was going to say that because of Jerry Gladbach having maybe a little trouble with it.
I just don't want Charlotte to start calling him Director O, but but I don't think she's listening in.
Way past her bedtime.
Very good. Director Bronstein, go ahead.
I just wanted to thank the committee for getting back to us so swiftly, and I'm glad that you guys managed to have a unanimous decision. It makes me feel very good, and I look forward to it being implemented. Thank you.
Very good. Any other comments or questions for Director Ozahusky? Director Atkins, go ahead.
Thank you for your leadership and a very concise report. I'm really looking forward to the technical aspects of what you have in mind, and appreciate the team that put all this together. Thank you.
Very thank good.
President Martin, if I may?
Yes,
I
sir.
Do have a couple of action items for your consideration. So this is for you, President Martin. Until the recommendation report is presented to the board, I would like for the ad hoc committee to stay intact. Should the board reject the recommendation or send it back for major revisions, I would like for the ad hoc committee to meet again to work with staff in order to make the necessary revisions. And should the board approve the recommendation report, I would then ask you to dissolve the ad hoc committee at that point. And you know, you don't have to make any comments on that, President Martin. I will send those notes to you. That's up to you as the president of the CBA.
Very good. Noted, Director Ozahowski. Very good. Well, thank you to the committee for your work. This was kind of a steep climb, I think, going through all the technology that's available and what might work for us. And thank you, Director Ozahowski, for your leadership. And with that, we can ask.
President Martin.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, one more comment. I'd like to thank Mr. Perez and Ms. Jacobs for all their help in making this run very smoothly, and for all the content that they presented. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm done. Back to you, President Martin.
Thank you, Chris. Good. I'm glad you pointed that out. All right, very good. Are there any other director reports that directors might want to give under item 11 tonight? Hearing none, we can listen. Wait a minute, Director Armitage. I looked down at my paper before I looked up again. Go ahead.
That's okay. No, I just have a fun little story that I wanted to share. I had the good fortune of running into the staff member who reads the meters in my neighborhood, and I was able to have a short little conversation with him, and it was just lovely to meet him. And a quick shout out to Patrick out there for doing a good job with a smile on his face. And I just wanted to say too that the NASA JPL nerd in me is super excited that we passed item 5.2 in the consent calendar to allow the agency to approve the use of property to support NASA JPL folks with their Earth science data collection. I think that's super cool. So just wanted to get that in. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Armitage. If that concludes the director reports, we can move to item 12, closed session. We will now be going into closed session. The public may stay on the Zoom webinar. Board members and appropriate staff will need to disconnect from the Zoom webinar and connect to the Teams meeting. We will be meeting in closed session to discuss item 12.1. As announced earlier, item 12.2 will not be discussed. Members of the public may stay on the current line. Once closed session is over, the board will reconnect to Zoom webinar for closed session announcements and the remaining items on the agenda. I'd like to remind the board once again that this is closed session and you need to be in a place where no one else can hear the discussion. We will be taking a very brief 5-minute break to allow directors to transition into the Teams format to conduct the closed session. So I would say let's meet in closed session at 8:50. And with that, please, directors, disconnect from Zoom and reconnect to Teams as you were notified by the board secretary. We will see you in closed session. Session, Madam Secretary. We are now back in open session. Please, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Please unmute your lines. As I call your name, please say present. Director Ford.
Present.
Director Planbeck. Director Bronstein.
Present.
Director Atkins.
Present.
Director Osahowski.
Present.
Director Cooper.
Present.
Director Colley.
Present.
Director Kelly.
Present.
Director Armitage.
Present.
Vice President Gladbach.
Present.
Vice President Mortensen.
Present.
President Martin.
Present.
And one more time, we'll see if, oh, Director Planbeck.
Here.
Thank you. Back Excellent. To you, President Thank Martin. You.
Very good. We can move to item 13, closed session announcements. Mr. Buns.
Mr. President, members of the board met in closed session under Government Code Section 54956.9 to discuss the matter in Section 12.1 of the agenda. The board voted unanimously to reject the claim and any other claims based on the same incident and turn them all over to the agency's insurance carrier.
Thank you, Mr. Bowen. We can move to item 14, director requests for approval for event attendance. Do we have any requests for event attendance? Director Plamba.
Well, I would like to get it approved to attend the Planning and Conservation League General Assembly that they are having in February. And it's a series of meetings. So I don't want to get approved for the series, but there's a couple of really great water panels that maybe the whole board would be interested in. And I would like to forward it to the board if anybody else is interested and it's approved.
All right. Do we have to take a vote on this or can I just approve this outright? April? Or Tom?
Mr. Bunn, I would say, Tom, do you think we need to do a vote on it or can it just be approved?
I don't know the answer to that under the policy.
Yeah, I would say, President Martin, why don't we just do a vote on it just to cover us and I'll double check it in the policy.
Very good. We need a motion and a second.
Bronstein motions.
Director Bronstein. Okay, motion by Bronstein, second by Director Kelly. Please call the roll.
Well, but can I raise a
Go
question?
Ahead, Director Cooper, yes.
I mean, this is something that's coming up at the last minute. We haven't seen any brochure on it. We don't know how it relates to the water agency. So how am I? I'm voting on something that I have absolutely no idea what it is.
And, I actually don't understand.
I'd like to see more information on it before I vote on it.
Okay, I'll be glad to send it around. But I actually don't understand why we need to vote, because it would just be one of your regular days, one day event that you, if, okay, whatever.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then why are we requesting it? You have,
because I thought I had to request it when it's not an approved event.
Oh, it's outside of the pre-approved
list. Yeah, it's not like the Southern California Water Dialogue. Okay. Maybe I should have not done it at the board and just sent it to you and then.
All right.
You could see. I don't know how. Well, I'm sorry. I guess
Can you at least announce the title of it again?
It's the Planning and Conservation League General Assembly that they have every year in February. But they have several really good water panels. So what I can do is send it around to everyone or send the link to you.
Is this a virtual meeting?
Yeah, it's a virtual meeting. Yeah.
One day virtual meeting.
Well, actually, it's a series of days. I was only going to use one day, but right. I don't know. Right. I don't know.
So what it amounts to is approving a meeting outside of our pre-approved list.
Right. Right.
Okay. You know, I don't have a problem with it. I just think that we need, if we're going to vote on things, we just need a little more information.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
But I'll go
understand
ahead.
That.
I'm fine with it.
Okay. Director Kelly, you have something you want to say?
I was just going to say, I believe in the integrity of the director that's asking for the request, and I'll vote yes.
Okay, very good. Call continue with the roll, April.
Please unmute your lines. As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Kelly.
Yes.
Director Bronstein.
Yes.
Director Ford.
Yes.
Director Osahowski.
Yes.
Director Cooper?
Yes.
Director Armitage?
Yes.
Director Colley?
Yes.
Director Atkins?
Yes.
Director Plambeck?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbach?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen?
Yes.
President Morton?
Yes.
It has been approved. Director Plambeck, would you also send me a copy of that link as well? Or
yeah, I'm going to send it to you for because I don't think I'm supposed to send things to everybody.
Yeah, if you could send it to me, that would be great, and then I'll distribute it.
Right. All right. Thank you. If there are no other requests for future agenda, future event attendance, we are at item 15, adjournment. Thank you all for a fast-paced and good, lively meeting tonight. And we will see you all next time. With that, we are adjourned.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank
good
you. Night. Good night.
Bye, everyone. Thank you, Gary.
Okay.
Good meeting. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, Gary.